which existing Supreme Court justices would you not have nominated?
With all due respect, Justice Ginsburg, Justice Breyer, Justice Souter, and Justice Stevens.
I would not have nominated Clarence Thomas. I would not nominate Justice Scalia, although I don't think there's any doubt about his intellectual brilliance.
The voices of Senator McCain and Obama talking about how they would have acted had they been president making nominations to the Supreme Court. That's a big question about this presidential race that's coming up a little later this year. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to start this hour of Issues Etc. with Ed Meese. He served 3 years as U.S. Attorney General in the Reagan administration, talking about the impact of the 2008 election on the U.S. Supreme Court. After that, we'll spend some time with Bill McKeever. There's a new book on the Mountain Meadows Massacre involving Mormons. We'll get his response to that. And then a little later in the program, Elliot Miller will join us. We'll talk about yoga. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk with Ed Meese. He currently serves as a distinguished research fellow for the Hoover Institute and holds the Ronald Reagan Chair in Public Policy for the Heritage Foundation. I began by asking him how the outcome of this presidential race would affect the future makeup of the court regarding abortion.
I think it's probably one of the most important elections we will have had in several years. The reason being that we have a majority of the court, more than a majority of the court, two-thirds of the court will be over the age of 70. And we have, as a result, the probability that the next president will appoint at least two justices, possibly three, and even perhaps even four in the next 4 to 8 years. So it's vitally important that we have constitutionally faithful judges appointed to that court.
If a case like Roe v. Wade were to come before the court today, this present court, how do you think the vote would go?
Well, I think it would be very close with the present court. It's hard to tell exactly. We have kind of an evenly balanced court. 4.5 justices are constitutionally faithful. 4.5 have their own ideas of what the Constitution ought to say, and they use their own policy preferences as their guide rather than the Constitution. So I think today it would be very difficult to predict. But I don't think we have enough justices today who would follow the Constitution for sure, have a different result in terms of the issue that was involved in Roe against Wade.
Which justice, I'm curious, or justices, is the 0.5 and 0.5 on both sides of that issue?
Well, I think you would have to say that Justice Kennedy is sometimes on the right side in terms of the Constitution and sometimes on the other side. And I think the concern I would have about this particular issue is that on the key decisions in the past relating to Roe against Wade, he's been on the wrong side.
What about the Chief Justice at this point? That tends to have some influence, I think, when cases like this are being considered. What do you make of the Chief Justice's position regarding the life issue?
Well, of course, you can never tell for sure how somebody's going to come down on an issue that has not yet been raised before him or her personally. But I would say this. I think the Chief Justice is very dedicated to a faithful interpretation of the Constitution. And I think if that issue came up today for the first time, there's no doubt in my mind that he would follow the Constitution and hold that there is no constitutional right to an abortion.
Is it realistic that Roe v. Wade might at some future time by a future court be overturned?
I think it is realistic to believe that. You know, it's very difficult not to follow precedent, because otherwise you have laws changing and the law being modified depending on who's on the court in the future. So there's a great pressure to follow precedent. However, there's also a body of legal research and doctrine that says that when a particular decision turns out to be wrong, that it has caused more problems and more litigation than it solves. Things such as the decision back in the 1800s on separate but equal, which was essentially overturned by Sinclair Brown against Board of Education in terms of education, or the Dred Scott decision that allowed slavery to continue, which was overturned by Abraham Lincoln in the Emancipation Proclamation. Sometimes cases are just wrong, and I think Roe against Wade is one of those, and it would certainly be my hope and my belief that someday that will be overturned.
So there is, in the court's long life, a track record of not only badly decided or badly written or bad outcomes in their decisions, but also of remedying that very problem.
Yes, there is. It's rare. But in very important cases, that has been true, and I think certainly this would be one of them.
Make the case, if you would, briefly for our listeners, as to whether or not Roe is bad law, not just in terms of its moral outcomes, but bad law on the face of it.
Well, it is, in the sense that there is nothing in the Constitution that provides a basis for Roe against Wade. And up until 1973, this very important moral issue was left to the states through the state legislatures, as have almost all major moral decisions, particularly those pertaining to family and to health and things such as that. And in those days, some states handled it one way, other states handled it another. But it could always be addressed by the people through their elected representatives in their state legislatures. What the court did in finding a bogus basis, which had no standing in the constitutional doctrine or constitutional law, and was wildly criticized by most constitutional scholars back in 1973, they essentially made up something that wasn't in the Constitution. They talked about emanations and penumbras. When you know that they're using terms like that, they're making it up. And so as a result, we had this illegitimate decision from the court, which had no basis in law, and which is just the judges using their own opinions and substituting that for the Constitution.
Do you expect the Supreme Court to rule anytime in the future on the issue of gay marriage?
It's a possibility that they might. I think, again, this is a matter that is now left to the states. We do have a federal law that makes it unnecessary for states for people in one state to recognize another state, which has ruled in favor of homosexual marriage, so-called marriage. But right now, it's in the hands of the states, and every time the voters have voted on this, they have been opposed to sanctifying something that just is almost a non sequitur. The idea of homosexual marriage just doesn't make any sense from a physiological standpoint, a moral standpoint, or a governmental standpoint.
What kind of Supreme Court appointments can we expect if Senator Obama is elected president? And then I want to ask about the same question regarding Senator McCain.
Sure. Well, I think there's a very basic difference. Each of those candidates was asked what kind of judges or justices they would appoint. And I say judges and justices because the Court of Appeal judges are, in many cases, as important as the Supreme Court, because they make many more decisions on these constitutional issues than does the highest court. But Senator Obama said that he wanted to appoint judges who would rule from the heart, who would have empathy, who would do what their conscience dictated. He talked about he wanted judges who would understand what it was to be a pregnant teenager or to be a homeless person or a homosexual, that sort of thing. In other words, he was talking about judges who would not rule on the basis of the Constitution and law, but rather would rule on what their own policy preferences or personal views might be. Senator McCain, by contrast, has said he wanted to appoint judges who are faithful to the Constitution, and he used as a model Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Sam Alito. And so I think there's a definite difference between the two.
You mentioned earlier that Justice Anthony Kennedy was that 0.5 and the 4.5 versus 4.5 court on abortion. Justice Kennedy was appointed by President Reagan. How can we be sure that Senator McCain would appoint a pro-life justice?
Well, you can never be sure because really, it's not appointing a pro-life justice as much as it is appointing a justice who's faithful to the Constitution. I don't think that any president can have a litmus test and try to get from a potential judge how they would rule on a case that's not really before them yet, where they don't know either the law or the facts. But it's a matter of appointing judges who understand the role of a judge, which is to follow the Constitution, who understand constitutional law, and who advocate fidelity to that Constitution. I think if you have that, then that kind of judge is going to rule the right way, as we see it, and the constitutional way on this issue of life.
If the court is closely divided on the issue of abortion, and Senator McCain were to gain the White House, might we expect to see something similar that happened to Robert Bork? How can Senator McCain realistically get a constitutionalist passed by a Democrat-controlled Senate?
I think that it's just a matter of taking this to the people, if necessary, and being persistent. I think at the time of Bob Bork, I think there are a number of factors in play. And I think, again, with the issue of constitutional fidelity as the principal issue, I think it's possible, just as it was with Sam Alito and with Chief Justice Roberts, getting them through. Sam Alito, if I remember correctly, did get, and Chief Justice Roberts did get considerable number of Democratic votes.
Ed Meese served for more than 3 years as U.S. Attorney General for the Reagan administration. He currently serves as a Distinguished Research Fellow for the Hoover Institute and holds the Ronald Reagan Chair in Public Policy for the Heritage Foundation. Ed, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you.
When we come back from this break, Bill McKeever will talk with us about the most recent Mormon response to the Mountain Meadows massacre, and then Elliot Miller will be our guest. We'll talk about yoga. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does Planned Parenthood have to hide?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In recent years, the number of abortions performed by Planned Parenthood in the United States has risen almost 30%. But could this powerful, well-funded organization be running scared? Apparently so. The last few months witnessed two separate occasions where Planned Parenthood willingly deceived citizens about abortion clinics being built in their area to avoid likely protests by the community. If, as the organization claims, a substantial majority of Americans favor abortion on demand, why all the secrecy? It seems that in reality, Planned Parenthood does not even buy its own rhetoric.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.